Good morning, everybody, and we do welcome you along to our Sunday morning service. And a very special welcome to Paul and Elizabeth Crowe from Faith Mission. I'm delighted to have them with us, and we're pleased that Paul's been willing to come and to minister this morning. So, do welcome you to our service, and this morning it's our communion as well. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you're welcome to share in communion. Now, please bear with me, because I do have quite a few announcements. It'll take a few moments, so just if I can get your attention for a minute or two. So, the usual things on this week: Knit and Natter, 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. The children's meeting is at 6:30. Do remember the work amongst the boys and girls on Wednesday. The prayer meetings are still on Zoom, so it's at 7:30. Now, as regards the Thursday evening fitness and fellowship, the Brownies, the Sinhaven Brownies, will be using the back hall that night. So there won't be badminton, but there will be the usual outside walk from 6:30 p.m. with a cuppa upstairs, a cuppa in the upstairs lounge afterwards. Do continue to remember the contacts there with the Brownies. Also, Sinhaven Boys Brigade on Friday night, and the Pilates class on Saturday at 9:30. Now, looking forward, a week tomorrow, that's Monday the 25th of March, you are invited to the children's meeting, a prize-giving social, on Monday 25th of March, 6:30. The following day, on Tuesday the 26th of March, there's a members' AGM in the lounge. That'll be at 7 o'clock. We'll remind you of that as well next week. When the Easter weekend comes, we have been invited to a Good Friday service, 7:00 p.m. the Peterhead Baptist Church. You might remember some of us went there 2 years ago, then we had it here last year. It's back in the Peterhead Baptist Church, Good Friday, 7:00 p.m. As is the custom, we're planning an Easter walk at 8:15 a.m. on Easter Sunday. That's the 31st of March. And there'll be a breakfast at 9:15. There is a sheet in the vestibule table for catering purposes, if you want to put your name and the amount of people that you think that will be with you. So if you can sign that, you can put your name on it to give an idea of numbers for the catering purposes. So these are all the announcements, except to say that next week, God willing, the speaker will be Bill Anderson from Aberdeen. Okay, so I think these are now all the announcements. So as I say, it's good to have Paul Crowe back with us again. It's a good while since he's been with us, but we're delighted to have you with us this morning, Paul. So I'm going to hand over to you now.
Thank you very much, Andrew, for your kind words of welcome, and we're delighted to be with you this morning and share in this time of worship. Let me just read to you a few verses from Psalm 103 as we come to the place of worship. The psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Can we stand to sing, please, our first praise? Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring.
Thank you.
Well, shall we unite our hearts in prayer, please? Let us seek the Lord. Our loving Heavenly Father, we bow before you to thank you that it is indeed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we come. We thank you, Father, that we bow before you and acknowledge that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, as we come this morning and the place of prayer and in the place of worship, we pray that we will continue, Lord, to know your help and the help of your Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside and aids us in our worship. We pray, Father, that we will draw near to you this morning with that broken and that contrite heart. For Lord, your word reminds us that a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. Father, we thank you that as we come, we have much to give you thanks for. Lord, we've read in your word this morning of your steadfast love. We thank you, Lord, that you crown us with your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you, Father, today that we can stir up our souls and we can say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Lord, we thank you for your many dealings with us. We thank you, Father, for your providential care of us. And we acknowledge, Lord, that as we look back over this past week, we can testify to the keeping power of our God. We thank you, Lord, that we can testify to the faithfulness of our God. And Lord, we thank you that you have supplied our every need. And we bless you for that. No, God, we come today to acknowledge that you're worthy of worship. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one who bids us to come. And we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you, Lord, that your word says, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Father, we thank you that as we come, we acknowledge, Lord, that you're an all-knowing and an all-seeing God. Father, you're the one who sees right into our hearts. You understand our thoughts afar off. Father, we thank you that you know the burdens that we bear. Father, we thank you that you know the griefs that we carry. And oh, Father, we thank you that you're a God who cares about every detail of our lives. Lord, you're not someone who has forgotten us about us. We thank you, Father, that you're the one who cares about us. Because, Lord, you have set your love upon us. Not because we were greater or better than any other, but because you loved us. We thank you, Father, for those of us who know the Lord. We can say that we're in Christ. That we've been redeemed by your precious blood. We thank you, Lord, that we know what it is to have our sins forgiven. And we thank you, Lord, that it's according to the riches of your grace. And so we pray that we will continue to know your help in the place of worship this morning. We pray, Father, that we might be of a mutual encouragement one to another in our fellowship and in our conversations one with another. We pray, Lord, as we read your word, that you will speak to us through your word this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word and for the effect that it can have upon our hearts and upon our lives. And Lord, we pray that as we consider your word together, help us to receive your word with hearts that the Lord has prepared. And so as we spend time around your table, Lord, we pray again that we will reflect upon the sacrificial price that the Lord Jesus Christ paid at Calvary. We thank you for your redeeming love, your forgiving love, your eternal love. Lord, we take time to remember those who are unable to be with us this morning for whatever reason. Some are held back through duty. Others, Lord, are laid aside through illness. Still others, Lord, are advanced in years and unable to make their way to the house of God. But Lord, whatever the need this morning, we pray that you, the God of all comfort, will be pleased to draw near and to comfort and to help and sustain and strengthen. And Lord, we pray for your word where it's preached today in its purity. We ask, Lord, that you indeed will be pleased to give your servants help, that, Father, there will be those who will be awakened to the need of Christ, and your people, Lord, will be edified and encouraged in the things of the Lord. So we bow, Lord, to thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name. And we pray, Lord, as we bow before you, that we will be candid in our confession of sin, that we will be humble, Lord, and we will acknowledge our need of your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, as we pour out our hearts before you in prayer. You're the one, Lord, who draws near, and we pray that you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This we pray in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, can we turn to our second hymn, please? Our second hymn is the communion hymn. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Is there two verses or four verses in this hymn? Four. We'll sing two, and then we'll have the communion, and then we'll sing another two. And I think we'll keep our seats as we sing the first two verses, please. Thank you. As we come around the Lord's table, I just want to read a few verses of Scripture. First of all, in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, and at chapter 1, and at verse 7, we've already quoted it in prayer this morning. There we read in verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 1, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." This verse reminds us that if we're in Christ, then we are redeemed. This verse reminds us that if we're in Christ, our sins have been forgiven, and it's according to the riches of his grace. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and at verses 23 through to verse 26, "For I have received from the Lord that what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Is there servers, please, or deacons that take part in the... Thank you. Let's pray. Does one of you pray? Okay. Father, we give thanks for the sacrificial price that was paid on our behalf. We thank you for the atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we partake of this bread and of this cup, we pray, Lord, as the hymnist would pray, oh, help me to understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. This we ask in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. Let's give thanks for the cup. Heavenly Father, your word reminds us that in him we have redemption through his blood. We thank you, Lord, for the cup that is before us, reminding us of the precious blood that was shed on our behalf, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Lord, as we partake of this cup, we will indeed bow before you and afresh reflect on what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to bear away our sin. Thank you that your word reminds us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Let us stand to sing the second part of the hymn, please. Let me all thy love accepting, love thee ever, all my days. Let me seek thy kingdom only, and my life be to thy praise. Can I invite you, please, to turn with me to the book of Proverbs and to chapter 27, the 27th chapter of the book of Proverbs, and we're going to read the whole of the chapter. It's up on the screen, I see. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. One who is full loathes honey, but to one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. Like a bird who strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. Be wise, my son, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Take a man's garment when he has put up security for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he puts up security for an adulteress. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. A continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. To restrain her is to restrain the wind, or to grasp oil in one's right hand. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who guards his master will be honored. As in water face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. Shiloh and Abaddon are never satisfied, and never satisfied are the eyes of man. The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and a man is tested by his praise. crush a fool in a mortar with a pestle, along with crushed grain, yet his folly will not depart from him. Know well the condition of your flocks, and give attendance to your herds, for riches do not last forever. And does a crown endure to all generations? When the grass is gone, and the new growth appears, and the vegetation of the mountains is gathered, the lambs will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of a field. There will be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the maintenance for your girls. Amen. We know that the Lord is able to add his blessing to the reading of his own precious and inspired word. Let's have a moment in prayer, please. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a living word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a word that comforts, a word that challenges us, a word that strengthens our souls. And Father, we come today to pray that we will, in meekness of spirit, receive your word. With gladness of heart, receive your word. And Father, again, we acknowledge our need of your help as we consider your word together. Thank you, Lord, that you know all that's going on in each one of our hearts. You know, Lord, those who are here this morning and they're longing to hear a word of encouragement, a word that will stimulate, a word that will help them forward in their walk with the Lord. And so we pray, Lord, that you will bless your word to our hearts. We pray that we'll be meditators of your word. And Lord, we pray that as we meditate upon it, that we might be those who will share it with others. So help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before we consider the word of God together, can we sing Loved with Everlasting Love? Led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Let's stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to consider with you this morning a verse from Proverbs chapter 27. You're probably looking at those verses and wondering, well, what verse is he going to preach on this morning from Proverbs 27? Well, I can tell you it's not verse 15 that speaks about the continual dripping. We'll leave that one alone. And I said to the last congregation that if they paid me enough, I would preach on it. So there you are, and we'll see what price it is. But I want to share with you a verse that is very precious to my own heart. Verse 17, where we read, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. It's a verse that I've meditated often on. It's a verse that I've quoted often in prayer. And a verse that I've never preached on until about the beginning of December there, when the minister from the Free Church Continuing in Aberdeen, who is a friend of mine, who was in faith mission with me, and he was in the army with my twin brother, he phoned me up. He said, I've a flu, Paul, can you help me out? And he phoned me a Thursday evening, and I had two sermons to prepare for this Sunday. But this is a verse I've never preached on, although it's a verse that's been very precious to my own heart, and as I say, often quoted in prayer, so much so that when our grandson was born a year past July, that the pastor of the Newtown Evangelical Church, where we were members of, went to visit our son and daughter-in-law and our baby, our grandson, Robbie, 15 miles north of Newtown. They're members of the Newtown, the Wellspool Evangelical Church there. And he said, you know, Paul, as I held Robbie in my hand for the first time, I looked into his little face. And I waited a moment and I thought, is he going to quote Proverbs 27, 17 like his papa? But you know, it's a wonderful verse. And the book of Proverbs is a wonderful book. I remember when I was first converted, way back there in 1979, a very godly man gave me advice. He says, Paul, if there's a month where there's 31 days, take the book of Proverbs and read a chapter a day and you get through the book of Proverbs. And that was helpful advice. It was very useful advice. I took that advice on board. But I'd rather go along with the advice that the late Sidlo Baxter gave, who was one time the pastor of the Charlotte Baptist Church in Edinburgh, where our daughter is a member. And he gave this advice in his book, Explore the Book. He says, the book of Proverbs is to be read ponderingly, lingeringly, prayerfully, and fairly often. And as we come to this verse of Scripture this morning, verse 17 of Proverbs 27, we read, iron sharpens iron, as one man sharpens another. If I was to take a cook's knife, a chef's knife, and in one this right hand, and take a sharpening steel in this left hand, I could sharpen that knife. And I could talk away to Andrew here, and I could sharpen the knife, no problem. If I can't find the sharpener, I would take another stainless steel knife and I would start to sharpen the knife. Iron sharpens iron as a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And I began to ask myself, well, how can we sharpen one another spiritually? Because we're living in days when we need to be encouraged in the Lord, isn't that right? We're living in days when, spiritually speaking, things are at a very low ebb. And we need to encourage one another in the Lord. We need to be those who are sharpening one another. And I have three thoughts this morning. We first of all sharpen one another spiritually when we benefit from godly conversations. Look there in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, and at verse 16, we read these words. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. Isn't that wonderful? When we get into godly conversation with another person who knows the Lord. During our time in Bible college, the late Mrs. Mary Peckham, who was converted during the Lewis Awakening, told us that during the time of revival, that if you went into someone's house one of the first things they would do, if this was the clock, if this was the face of the clock, they would take the clock that was sitting on the mantelpiece and they would turn it round the other way. Why? Because time didn't matter. They spoke about the things of the Lord. Charles Haddon Spurgeon has this to say. Say much of what the Lord has done for you, but say little of what you've done for the Lord. Want that again? Say much of what the Lord has done for you, but say little of what you have done for the Lord. Wonder, can you speak of the things of the Lord? Can you speak of saving grace? Can you speak of redeeming love? Can you speak of forgiving love? Can you speak of his eternal love? Because you know with certainty that you're in Christ. Can you take up that verse there in Ephesians 1 and verse 7 and say, in him I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Just back there in the beginning of December, our daughter was up from Edinburgh visiting us in Aberdeen, and we were heading out one Saturday morning to go up to Ballater. We love Ballater. We were there yesterday, and if I wasn't so busy, I'd be back there before the end of the week. We were going to, Miriam had spotted this Christmas fair that she wanted to go to, and we took her up, and I was upstairs getting ready that morning, and the doorbell rang, and my wife answered the door, and I knew from the conversation who it was at the door. It was the Jehovah's Witnesses. So down the stairs I went, fully clothed, barefooted, but fully clothed, and I said, good morning. She said, good morning. And she started to give me a spiel about the Jehovah's Witnesses. I says, now tell me, can you say you're in Christ? Can you say that you have an assurance of salvation? Can you say that if you were to die tonight, it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord? And she started to give me another spiel. And I quoted Ephesians 1, verse 7. And I says, but it's according to the riches of his grace. And then she started to give me another spiel. And I says, but it's according to the riches of his grace. And she started again. I says, but it's according to the riches of his grace. And she said to the young man standing beside her, I think we'll give up on this one today. Now that's not normally my tact. I normally keep them at my door for 2 hours, and that stops them going to somebody else's door. That's a gospel opportunity, isn't it? During our time in Wales, we weren't long there, and my wife and our children were in the evangelical church, and I'd gone to the Baptist church to preach. I came home. Elizabeth was preparing lunch. I'd gone upstairs to put my sermon away. Doorbell rang, and it was the Jehovah's Witnesses, and their opening question to me that morning was, good afternoon, sir. Have you been to a place of worship this morning? I says, indeed I have, and I'll tell you what I was preaching on. So I launched into a summer of the sermon I've been preaching on. But I wonder, do we speak to one another about what the Lord means to us? Do we speak of his redeeming love? Do we speak of his providential care? Do we speak of his faithfulness? Do we speak of how he has crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies? You know, it's not something that you and I can manufacture. Because we read in Matthew 12 and verse 34 that it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. You see somebody who's in love with their new car. It doesn't matter where you start the conversation, they'll get back to speaking about their new car. If they've had a cruise, when a cruise, it's not long before they get back to telling you how much they enjoyed their cruise. I remember when I was first converted, and it didn't matter where you'd start the conversation, you could start about the rugby or the football or the cricket, and I wasn't one bit interested. But could get back to talking about the Lord. You see, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And if we love the Lord, if he's precious to us, then we can come alongside another and we can speak to them of the things of the Lord. But we can also listen to others, tell of what the Lord has done for them and is doing for them. And so we are going to sharpen one another spiritually. We benefit from godly conversations. But secondly, if we're going to sharpen one another spiritually, then we benefit from godly companions. Look there in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. We read these words. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to be an encourager, to come alongside another who is afflicted in some way. Remember there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 16 through to 18, how Onesiphorus, he searched for Paul and he searched diligently for him. And you read how he refreshed Paul. You read how he ministered to Paul. And we can all have a ministry. A ministry of encouragement, a ministry of edification, a ministry where we come and we seek to lift up the fallen. We speak that word in season to the one who is discouraged or weary in the way. Think there of that verse there in 1 Samuel 23 where we read that Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God. He encouraged him. Actually, if you go back there to Malachi 3 and verse 16, that word is also speaking of encouraging one another in the Lord. Do we strengthen another one's hand? Do we see where somebody is struggling and they need our help? When we go there to the book of Hebrews and to chapter 10 and to verses 24 and 25, we read these words. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25, we read these words. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more you see the day drawing near. Did you read those words? Encouraging one another. Stirring up one another to love and good works. You see, we're not saved by good works. But good works is a product of salvation. It doesn't produce salvation. It's a product of salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. One commentator had this to say: no man can be his best or reach the heights God intends for him without those friends who comfort, provoke, challenge, rebuke, chide, affirm, stimulate, and encourage until his thinking is clear, his wisdom mature, his purpose refined, and his faculties sharp. We need one another, don't we? And when we go back to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6, we read these words: faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Now let me deal with the second part of that verse first. It really means deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Judas' one kiss was a deceitful kiss. But here in the book of Proverbs, we're told, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You see, you're not my friend if you flatter me. Now, just before you jump on the bandwagon and you think you've got a ministry in rebuking, let me remind you that the book of Proverbs tells us that in chapter 6 and verse 16 and 17, that there are six things that the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. What's those haughty eyes? It's a conceited look. What's those haughty eyes? It's a proud look. In other words, if you're coming with your rebuke to somebody and you're looking over the top of your glasses and you're wagging your finger, that's a conceited look. That's a proud look. That's a haughty look. And what does the Proverbs tell us? That is what the Lord hates. That is an abomination unto the Lord. If we're going to rebuke somebody, if we feel that they need to be rebuked, make sure you bathe that rebuke in grace. And make sure you bathe it in prayer. We, as you know, spent a number of years in Wales. And there's a lovely hymn. In one of the hymn books, it says, I saw a new vision of Jesus, a view I had not seen before. It was one of Verne Hyams' lovely hymns. He wrote many hymns. He's actually a hymn book full of hymns. He's now with the Lord, but he was one time pastor of the Heath Evangelical Church in Cardiff. And when he first went there as pastor, there was a lady who was giving him great difficulty, great grief. And he took another minister with him into a room in the church, and they spent half a night in prayer. Actually, the other minister was one time principal of the Faith Mission Bible College. You know, that woman left the church. They didn't even have to say anything to her. She left. She never came back. You see, sometimes when we go without prayer and without bathing what we want to say in grace, we find very often that there's a reaction that comes back that we're not very able to cope with. But yes, we need that faithful friend that will encourage and stimulate, that will comfort and console, that will rebuke and, yea, may even wound. I look back over my almost 42 years with the Faith Mission, and I thank God for those who in faithfulness have rebuked me. But not only do we sharpen one another when we benefit from godly conversations, and we benefit from godly companions, but thirdly, we sharpen one another when we benefit from godly counselors. Look there in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. And we read these words: where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in the abundance of counselors, there is safety. Now, what do we mean by an abundance of counselors? Well, when we're seeking godly advice from a multitude of counselors, we must be sure not to manipulate circumstances in our favor by going to who you know ahead of time will endorse whatever you want to hear. Always seek balanced and godly advice. And if we're seeking to sharpen one another spiritually, we should be those who are ready to give that godly advice. What happens when the phone rings and somebody at the other end of the phone is seeking godly advice? Are you ready to give that godly advice? Or maybe you're seeking godly advice yourself. You're seeking to make some move in your life. You're seeking the Lord for guidance. And the Lord in His faithfulness brings across your path a godly counselor. I don't mean by that a counselor who's a marriage counselor, that may be helpful, or some other counselor that you go to see, that may not be helpful. I'm speaking about us as individuals. Remember one evening, some weeks ago, the telephone rang, and it was a lady who used to be the secretary of the Bible College in Edinburgh, Miss Tilly Thompson, and she was asking after a friend of ours who's now gone to be with the Lord. She was suffering from cancer. Tilly knew the lady well. We knew her well. I actually took part in the funeral the other week. And she talked to Elizabeth for a while, and then Elizabeth says, would you like a word with Paul? And I had a brief conversation with Tilly. During that time, I said, you know, we're heading towards retirement. We're not sure when or where we're going to retire or what we're going to do in retirement. But, you know, in that brief conversation, she gave me godly advice. Another evening, about a fortnight later, another lady phoned, and she was 95 years young. 10 to 10 at night, would you please? I thought it was my mate in the mission, and he was there for some crack. Now, if you're from Ireland, you'll know what crack is, right? This is St. Patrick's Day, and those of us who know about Ireland know about St. Patrick, and we know about crack. It's having a laugh, having a joke. He was actually on the phone last night. And I said to her, well, a young lady like you should be in your bed at this time of night. But you know, before I passed the phone over to Elizabeth, she gave me godly advice about prayer. What a benediction. Her and her husband used to be in the staff in the college. Robin was a lecturer in church history and other subjects. A man who had memorized the book of Psalms. Man who knew how to pray. But I wonder, are we godly counselors? Do we listen to godly advice? Because we want the best for one another. We want to sharpen one another spiritually. I started off by using an illustration of sharpening knives. You know, if you work with a blunt knife, you'll do yourself more harm than you would if you're working with a sharp knife. Last time I saw Richard, he had his finger bandaged up. It was a sharp knife. Well, he wasn't using it right, was he? I've got a scar here in my finger that I cut in a finger about 44 years ago. But you know, if you're working with a blunt knife, and I'm sure there's a few fishermen here, if you're filleting fish and the knife is not sharp, you'll make a bigger mess of it, won't you? Okay, you maybe don't fillet the haddock, but maybe you slice the smoked salmon, eh? Smoked salmon always tastes better when it's sliced thin. Oh, you can have more than one slice, you can have three or four. But it tastes better. But you know, if you have a knife that's blunt, you need to exert more pressure on that knife. And if you exert more pressure on that knife and you slip and cut your finger, it'll make a bigger mess of it. And there's a spiritual application there. If you're not sharp spiritually, no matter what you do for the Lord, teach in the Sunday school, work with the youth, serve as a deacon, serve as an elder, go out preaching, visit the sick, you'll just make a hash of it. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Are we seeking to sharpen one another? Are we those who speak of what the Lord has done for us more than what we've done for the Lord? Do we read his word and share from his word? Do we spend time in prayer and know the nearness of our God? Do we worship him? Do we speak out of the abundance of our heart? Are we those who grumble and complain, criticize, pull others down? Or do we edify and encourage? May the Lord apply his word to each of our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we bow before you to thank you that you're a gracious God. You're a God full of compassion. We thank you that we read in your word, as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on them who fear him. for he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. And Lord, we do pray that we will indeed receive your word this morning. And we thank you, Lord, again, that you are merciful, that your goodness and your mercy follows us all the days of our life. And so we pray, Lord, that we will indeed bow before your word this morning, bow before our Savior this morning, and acknowledge our need of him and our help of him in sharpening one another, encouraging one another in the things of the Lord. For we ask it in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. Our closing hymn is, May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. Shall we stand to sing, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word exhorts us to do all in the name of the Lord, to do all in his strength, under the anointing of his Holy Spirit, and seeking only his approval. Part us now, Lord, with your blessing that maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow with it. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest and abide with us this day and forevermore. Amen.